Revelation chapter number 13, and then we'll give you a little bit of background. And we're going to a very specific place tonight, something that I think will help keep you on alert and an understanding not just about what's happening right now, but what I believe the devil is using that may seem somewhat innocent. Some things he's using now in America that may seem like it's something innocent and something we ought to just go along with and things like that. But I want to remind you that the spirit of Antichrist is already active in this world. And so we're going to expose him tonight. We're going to show you who he is. We're going to talk about the Antichrist. And we're going to tell you some character traits of him, some things the Bible teaches about him. But then we're going to make our way to a specific, some of the specific things that we're seeing happening in America, that if someone does not understand the Bible or know the Bible, they may think are not that big of a deal. But, you know, and some of you may even say, "Preacher, I just don't know why you get so up in here about this thing or that thing or the way this is done." I mean, if it's a good thing, what does it matter how it's done? It makes a big difference how it's done, because you have to understand, if you know the Bible and you know how this thing is going to end, listen, as preachers, we're watchmen on the wall. I have to stay nervous about things. I have to see things that you don't see, and I have to cry out about things that the average Christian may not think is a big deal for a while. But I'm telling you, if we don't stay ahead of this, I'm not just looking at what's happening now. I'm looking at what this is going to lead to. And I believe Americans right now are being mentally reprogrammed to accept the rule of the Antichrist. And a lot of the things that have gone on with this COVID-19 thing has altered and changed and allowed us to surrender some things that may not seem like that big a deal for a short time. But if it gets into the mindset of America that it's okay, I want you to see where this thing's going and blow the trumpet on that tonight. Let's all stand, if you're able to, for the reading of the Bible. Revelation chapter 13 and verse number 1. I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him power. The dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. I saw one of the heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast. And they worshiped the beast, saying, "Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him?" And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. The power and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh the fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to him that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Heavenly Father, Lord, please, in the time that we're allotted tonight, we're going to try to give a lot of information. And Lord, we pray, dear Lord, that you would Lord, help me to be focused mentally, to say the things I ought to be accurate, Lord, in the things that I say. And Lord, we've spent a lot of time this month blowing the trumpet. We're going to do it again tonight. Lord, I pray that we would begin to view our current events in light of the last days with an understanding that things that may seem small and insignificant and changes that are being asked of us, that we might have the wisdom as Christians to see where these things are going, where they're leading. And Lord, I pray, dear Lord, for America. I pray that these things that were meant for evil would be turned to good. I pray that the things that I think the devil is doing to prepare for the Antichrist would activate Christians to a new level of energy. Lord, I'd love to see one more great revival before you come. And so, Lord, we pray for that. And we ask, Lord, that it would begin in each of us, Lord. Why not in this place? And so we ask, Lord, that you'd move amongst us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. This chapter is a fascinating chapter, an interesting chapter. It introduces to us three of the most frightening truths found in the study of the tribulation period. If you like end times, you like the study of the book of Revelation, chapter 13, it don't get any better than this. Because we're introduced to two characters and then something that they are going to force upon mankind. We first are introduced to the Antichrist, also known as the Beast. Now, this is the devil's political leader during the tribulation period. And so that is the first beast that we see rise up out of the sea in verse number 1. We're also introduced to a second beast in verse number 11. This is the false prophet. This is the devil's religious leader. Everything, well, listen to this because we're going to say it a couple times. Everything that God has ever done, the devil's tried to counterfeit, okay? Everything the devil's ever done, the devil has tried to counterfeit. We believe that God is one God, but that he reveals himself to us in three distinct personalities. We call that the doctrine of the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting that that dragon also wants to have a trinity? So we have the dragon who's pulling the strings behind the curtain, and then we have the political leader, the Antichrist, and then we have the false prophet, and here we have the unholy trinity, just like we have a holy trinity. And then we see in the end of this chapter the mark of the beast. So the Antichrist, the false prophets introduced, and then the mark of the beast. Now this is, we'll say more about it in a few minutes, but this is the visible identity mark taken by those who are loyal to the beast, who have basically sold their soul to the beast, the Antichrist. They are going to take a mark. The Bible says that mark will be received in one of two places, in their right hand or in their forehead. It's interesting, verse 17, the Bible says and kind of clarifies that no man might buy or sell save that he that had the mark. So whatever this mark of the beast is, it comes in three possible ways, okay? Look what the Bible says here. He says you cannot buy or sell save he that had the mark. So whatever that a mark in their right hand or forehead is the mark of the beast. But it also says that they could have instead the name of the beast. Think about that. Or the number of his name. I think it's good that we take a look at this because sometimes things are taught and said and we don't really look at the scripture, and it's just a way that the devil can use to deceive. Well, I didn't take 666. Well, there's three different things that you're going to... Listen, I think that again, this is part of the devil's deception. I think it's been told and taught and preached all these years that you're going to have to take 666. Well, that's going to be one of the three options. But I will say this, these things will be visible. People will be able to be identified as either a loyal follower of the beast on sight because they either have a mark, what that mark is, I'm not sure, or the name of the Antichrist, or 666, the number of the Antichrist, but in a visible manner, we are going to be able to identify those that are loyal to the Antichrist and are followers of the false prophet and worshipers of the dragon and those who are not. And that's being set up for a very specific reason. Now, the two beasts described here are referred to as the Antichrist and the false prophet, the symbol mandated for all followers of the Antichrist I've just explained. The first beast is described as coming up from the sea. Most interpret that as a reference to the sea of humanity or the human race. He rises up from the masses. I think he's going to come from the common man. I think he's going to come unexpectedly. I think it's not going to be somebody that you would think or you might have figured out or some famous figure. I think it's going to be somewhat of a surprise. He's going to kind of come from nowhere. The description of this creature is peculiar. I'm not going to go through all the symbols because of what we want to cover tonight. But all of these things that are described about him is entirely symbolic, with each aspect representing part of the figure's power or character. Now, this figure, the Antichrist, will be empowered by Satan to exert near unlimited power on the earth. Folks, when he gains control of this earth, he's going to have control. This includes persecution, murder of Christians, accompanied by overt and public blaspheme against God, occult-like worship from the people on the earth, and most interpretations, this is the end times figure popularly referred to as the Antichrist. Now, I've studied the Antichrist, and I'm not going to say these are the only character traits. I think there's 10 very specific and obvious character traits of the Antichrist, okay? So let me run through these and just mention them to you, okay? Number one, he claims to be God and demands to be worshipped. Claims to be God and demands to be worshipped. We see that in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called capital G God, or that is worship, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Now, folks, when this man comes up, he's going to demand worship. He wants to be treated as a god. Now, that shouldn't surprise us, because you see, the one thing that got the devil kicked out of heaven is that he had a desire to be as the Most High. See, Lucifer, who was one of the archangels, the one thing that he could not get past, the one thing that bothered him, the one thing that he just couldn't make peace with, is that God received worship and he did not. And the devil has always had a desire to be worshipped. You remember when he met Jesus out in the wilderness and he tempted him for 40 days and 40 nights. One of the things he did was he put him up on the pinnacle of the temple, showed him all the wonders of the world. And he said, I will give you if you'll fall down and worship me. You know what? Satan still wants to be worshipped. That's why you see the influences of the occult that you see in our society. Young people being drawn in all kinds of different ways. Listen to me. Through some of the books they're reading, some of the websites they're on, mainly through the video games that many of them are playing, are being introduced to Satan worship and Satanism. Be careful, be careful, be careful. That's one of the character traits. He wants to be worshipped as God and viewed as God. Now, he will blaspheme the real God. That's number two. He will blaspheme the real God. There was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Now, I want you to think about this. I talked about the spirit of Antichrist, okay? So, do we see the spirit of Antichrist? I'm going to talk about these 10 character traits. I'm going to stop every once in a while and say, okay, what are we seeing today? All right, let me tell you what we're seeing today. Number one, people want to be as God. People want to be as God. The same sin of Satan is coming into the human race. The idea that God, listen to me, you say, well, that's not true. Okay, let me test it. The idea that God should have more say in your life than you, how's that set with you? The idea that God's word should have stronger respect and obedience than your opinion. Right. How does that set with you? Don't tell me the spirit of Antichrist isn't already working. You know, most people view themselves as a god. That's what the devil promised Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and that's one of the promises that swayed Eve to biting into that fruit, was you can be as gods, little g gods, knowing good and evil. So he was tempting man with the same thing that he wanted. He wanted to be as God. You can be like a god, equal with God, and you can decide what's right and wrong in your eyes. You know, people may not have said out loud, even though a lot of them are saying it out loud right now. But you know what? By not going to church, they're saying, I don't want to hear what the Bible has to say. I want to believe what I want to believe. I don't want to hear that there's certain things that's condemned by the Bible and certain things. I want to discern what's right and wrong for me. So this idea of the demand for worship and the desire to be godlike, the spirit of Antichrist is taking over this culture. He will blaspheme God. See, as a preacher that's on the wall, you know, folks, don't get used to the idea of God's name being taken in vain. Don't get used to that. Every once in a while, I'll just park and I'll just say, good night, folks. Do you realize that's one of the Ten Commandments? Do you realize the Bible says that God will not hold him guiltless, will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain? You know, God's name ought to be reverenced. It ought to be feared. It ought to be respected. It shouldn't be used by a bunch of people out here that every time they get mad about something, they use God's name in vain. And then I mentioned this morning, they're not just using God the Father's name in vain. They're using Jesus Christ more and more often. I remember when that first started. I really do. Where it became more and more popular, it was when I was a teenager. And all of a sudden, I noticed more people beginning to use Jesus Christ as a cuss word. I remember how every time I would hear that as a born-again Christian, it'd be like someone taking a knife and turning into my heart. How can you blaspheme the name of the one who came and died for you? I mentioned this briefly in the message this morning, but you can Google it, and you can go on YouTube, and you know what? I'm not even suggesting you do it. I'm telling you it's there. I've looked at some of it. I can only watch about three or four, and I turned it off. But literally, the atheists have put out there what they call a blaspheme challenge, and they are asking people to videotape themselves publicly blaspheming the Holy Spirit of God, because the Bible says that that's the unpardonable sin. And so literally, atheists. And by the way, most of these are college age. I remember one I watched, and that's when I turned it off, was a young mother who is wrestling around with a toddler while she's videoing herself saying, I publicly blaspheme the Holy Spirit of God. I publicly declare my unbelief in God. And they're videotaping this stuff and putting it on, they call it the blaspheme challenge. And folks, thousands, are you listening to me? Thousands of people have gone online and posted these public declarations of their disdain and disrespect for the Spirit of God. Listen, when I hear that, you can let's sit there and read this. You know, I'm seeing the spirit of Antichrist. See, I want you to develop, and I think many of you have, mature Christians kind of pick up on this, where you begin to know the Bible enough where all of a sudden you see something that most people say, well, that's not that big a deal. Yes, it is. Because it's laying the foundation of being of something being accepted that should never be accepted. And so, number two, he'll blaspheme God. Number three, he will display miraculous powers. In chapter 13, verse 13, if you're still there, he doth great wonders so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. Don't forget this, folks. You know what? Just as God can perform miracles, the devil has a limited capacity to also perform miracles. Remember when Moses showed up before Pharaoh and Moses was given certain miraculous signs to prove that God had sent him? And you know what Pharaoh did? He called his magicians in and they were able to reproduce some of those signs. Can you imagine a political leader that had the power to call down fire from heaven? You know, and you know, he's going to display God-like character traits. He's not going to just say, worship me as God. He's going to say, I'm going to show you that I am God. And when he does these things, the Bible says that a lot of people are going to be deceived. How could he do these things if he was not God? Well, you better be reminded. As I mentioned, you can go through the Bible and see where the devil has supernatural powers just like God does. But God's power, of course, is greater than the devil's power. You know, I like that one where, you know, Moses puts the rod down, it turns into a snake. And he said, bring the magicians. And they take their rods and they turn them into snakes. And guess what Moses' snake does? He eats up all of the other snakes, you know. You know what that reminds us? Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So even though there is a demonic power, and you're going to see, folks, I mean it. I can give testimony to this. I've talked to people. I've seen certain things up in Chicago. There are certain areas that are satanic strongholds, and you have to understand that. And you know what? I have watched things that were done that you could convince yourself what had to be a act of God, but it wasn't. It was demonic, it was supernatural, but it was of the devil. And I'm going to tell you something, it's going to deceive, the Bible says, even the elect. Number four, the Antichrist will come back to life. Remember what I said about he's a counterfeit of God? He's a copycat of God? Well, guess what? The Antichrist is the Jesus version of the unholy Trinity. And the Bible talks about him receiving a wound, as it were, wounded to death, verse 3, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. The end of verse number 14, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And so he's literally going to try to counterfeit the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about character traits of the Antichrist. Number 5, the Antichrist is going to rule in full authority. You know, again, it bothers the devil that God is an almighty God. He's an almighty God. And he's going to try to reproduce that in the realm of the earth. And you know what? By this time, the rapture has happened and the saints are pulled out. And the people on earth has basically said, we don't need God. We don't want God. And so God says, I'll tell you what, I'll take my children out. I'll take the Spirit of God out. And I'll turn the earth over to the prince and power of the air. And you know what? I'll let him take control. And you can finally get what you've said you wanted, a world without God. But he turns it into a nightmare. He turns it into something that no film producer could have thought of, and no horror film producer could. I mean, folks, what's going to happen in the tribulation period? You think the devil's your friend. You think the devil is worthy of worship. You think the devil loves you. No. When he gets a chance to grab a hold of this thing and rule and reign, and there are going to be thousands upon thousands of people that lose their life, and we'll get into that in just a second. So number 5, the Antichrist rules in full authority. They're going to say, who is like unto the beast? Verse 4. Who is able to make war with him? Verse 13, it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Now he's going to use this full authority to declare war on the children of God. Wait a minute, preacher. You just said that all the Christians were raptured. So how in the world, and where? What do you mean? There are people that are saved after the rapture? Absolutely, there's people that are saved after the rapture. I think one of the most wonderful testimonies of the grace of God is that we get to see two of the most remarkable revivals and evangelistic events happen in the history of the earth during the tribulation period. Don't tell me God's not a gracious God. Even after he's raptured all of the saints of God, he's going to unleash 144,000 preachers to go out there and preach the glorious gospel, and they're going to see great results. But the people that turn to Christ during the tribulation period, they will pay for that decision with their blood. They will be the ones that are without number under the throne of God crying, how long, how long, O Lord? These were those that died during the times of great tribulation. And then later on, the two witnesses, which I think is John Wayne and Chuck Norris, but the two witnesses, sorry about that. I should have left that alone. Come on, man. Chuck's tough, man. Chuck's tough. So anyway, wow. That whooshing sound that you heard, that happens every once in a while when the Spirit leaves the church. So I'm going to try to preach him back in now, all right? You know what? Then what they're going to, listen, they're going to go and they're going to perform miracles and they're going to proclaim the glorious God. And listen, God loves mankind. You imagine that God could have just said, okay, I'm done with all of you. Get the saints of God out. Holy Spirit, you leave. You know, we'll turn this over to the devil, let him have it. But you know, God still sees. Now watch this. Who are the ones that are getting saved? Not people that have previously heard the gospel of Jesus Christ. But folks, listen to me. Untold millions are still untold. And the great harvest that's going to happen, I believe it's going to happen in areas of the world where the gospel has never been preached. They never had a chance. They never heard. And you know what? God in his graciousness is saying, you know what? Even while I am thrust into the world into 7 years of great tribulation, I'm still going to have the gospel preached, and I'm still going to have people turn to Christ. When we get down to the battle of Armageddon and what's left over at the very end, you know what? They cursed the God of heaven, and they blaspheme his name, and he's given them every opportunity to turn, and they've refused to turn. And that's when that heaven rolls back like a scroll. And you know what? There's somebody on a white horse whose name is the Word of God that comes down and finishes this thing. But nobody is ever going to be able to stand at the great white throne judgment and point a finger at God and say, you were not a gracious God. You were not a forgiving God. You were not a God of great opportunity. You know what? God is never going to be accused of that. It's almost like this. If mankind is going to go to hell, they're going to have to trample underneath the feet the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I get mad when someone says, well, God wouldn't send somebody to hell. No, you're right. He doesn't have to. Your sins send you to hell. But he sent his son to pay for those sins, and you have to walk over the blood of Jesus Christ to go to hell. So don't talk to me about how bad God is. God sent his son to die for my sins and for your sins. And if you go to hell, it's not God's fault. It's your choice. Okay, so then we see the Antichrist will, the Antichrist will control the world's economy. And we see that when we read there at the end, verse 16, and he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond. So you know what? Nobody's going to get to be an exception to this. There is no exception. Okay, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Okay, if they are not willing to receive this very visible public mark that has been dictated by a single man, okay, then you know what they're going to do? What's going to happen? Verse 17, that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. And we talk about the number of the beast there. Now, I'm talking about the spirit of Antichrist. I'm going to get to this at the end. I'm going to jump over that. You think about what I just said. Number 7, the Antichrist desecrates God's temple. We read about that in Matthew chapter 24. What's called the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, when he stands in the holy place. Let them that be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him that is on the housetop. You know what? At the middle of the tribulation period, in 3.5 years, the Antichrist is going to take over the temple, the rebuilt temple in Jerusalem. Only he's not there to perform sacrifices and worship of the true God. He's going to take that and blaspheme and desecrate it and make sacrifices unto the beast. Demand the same type of sacrifices that were brought before a holy God be brought before him. And that's going to send the signal to Israel that you've been duped. This man is not your friend. And he's not here to help you find your way back to God. And he's not the true Messiah. He's a false prophet. And that's why it says, you know what? Hey, when that day comes and you hear the news that happened, you flee to the mountains, goes on to war. It says, if you're on the housetop, don't go in the house and get anything. It said, if you're a woman expecting a baby, God bless you. It's a horrible time to be in that situation. Or if you've got young children, God bless you. You know, because all of a sudden it's going to be obvious who he truly is and what he is truly about. Number 8, the Antichrist will attempt then to destroy Israel. And we'll read all of this, but Satan and all of those under his rule have always sought the destruction of the Jews. Why? Because they're God's chosen people. I can take you back to Revelation chapter 12. And there's that dragon standing before that woman who's preparing to give birth a child. That child is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you think of the attempts, even in the times of Christ, for the devil to try to destroy physically the life of Jesus Christ, to keep him. So you know what? That didn't work. And Jesus did what he came to do. So he's declared war. He has declared war on God's children. And the devil hates Israel. And the devil hates the Jews. Number 9. He's going to cause the earth's armies to fight against Christ. And that's going to be the battle of Armageddon. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. He'll be the one that leads them into the battle of Armageddon. And the last thing, this is an encouraging thing, the final destination of the beast and the false prophet and the devil will be the lake of fire. Revelations 19:20, and the beast was taken, and with him the false prophet that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast. Did you get that? with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast and them that worshipped his image. These both are cast alive into the lake of fire burning with brimstone. Okay, preacher, that's a lot of information. Yes, we have the Antichrist. We have the false prophet. The second beast arises from the land. And this, some people believe that it refers to Israel. As with the first beast, the symbolic description suggests his role and his character traits. In this case, they are mostly spiritual and religious. This person is most typically labeled as the false prophets, and he attempts to mimic Christ, Jesus Christ. And so this person is also supernaturally powered by the devil, and he's going to lead the charge to try to get the world to worship the Antichrist. That's all we'll say about that. Now, so we're introduced to the Antichrist. We're introduced to the false prophet. Now, preacher, what about this mark of the beast? What about this attempt to get people to take the mark of the beast? And if they're unwilling to take the mark of the beast, be denied certain normal, sensible freedoms of life. Now, preacher, why sometimes do you raise a warning? Let me just say it plain. And by the way, I want you to understand it in the direction that I'm going here, that I am not making a case for face masks or against face masks. We have people here that are wearing face masks, and you know what? God bless you. I think that high-risk people ought to be wearing them. And I encourage some of you that maybe are not to consider wearing them, okay? It's not the idea of encouraging us to wear face masks that's bothering me. What's bothering me is the manner in which it's being dictated to us. Now, listen to what I'm going to say here, okay? I do have some things posted on the back bulletin board that I think you need to read. And I'm going to change those out every week or so. I'm going to start putting for our people things that you need to know. Facts. You know, I told you Wednesday night, statistics are stubborn things. Facts are stubborn things. And if we do not start exposing our people to the facts, and we just sit there like a bunch of sheeple instead of people, we the sheeple, okay, instead of people, and we don't decide if we're going to sit there and listen to whatever CNN tells us, come on, or NBC or ABC or whatever else, and we're just going to be led around by the nose and brainwash, what we need to do is we need to research some things. We need to study some things. I'm not talking about going to some crazy conspiracy theory sites on the website and pulling out some crazy stuff. I'm talking about facts and figures that are inarguable, that are accurate, and that are giving a true picture of what's really going on. And listen, folks, I believe this. One of the reasons, without a doubt, that the Antichrist is going to gain the power he is because he's going to propagate a spirit of fear. The Bible says that God hath not given us a spirit of fear. I mean, I talk to Christians that literally are terrified right now. I mean, they are living scared. God never intended you to live scared. There's a difference between exercising wisdom and living and making decisions in fear. Okay? So you know what? The just shall live by faith, not fear. So what we do is we don't make decisions based on fear. We base them on facts and by faith. Because even some of the facts may paint a certain picture, but that does not still justify that we do not walk a life of faith. You know, I was knocking on doors over there by the Eel River, and it's in my section over there. And a guy came out of a house, and I told him, I said, I'm from the church. Do you mind if I drop this off? And you know, we're careful about the way we go soul winning. I don't crowd people. I talk to them from 20 feet away. I offer them the packet. If they don't want it, I don't have to take it. But folks, it's not time to stop going soul winning. The gospel needs to go forward. The Great Commission was not put on hold because we are facing a crisis in the United States. And so I told him, and he said, I'm a born-again Christian. He said, are you a preacher? I said, yes. He said, I got a question for you. And he said, I've been dying to ask a preacher this. I said, talk to me. And he said, "If I'm saved. And if we're saved, he said, isn't our lives in God's hands? I said, yes, yes. And he said, well, you know what? Why in the world are so many Christians in fear? Don't they really believe the Bible? And I told him, I said, well, let me tell you this. The first sermon I preached after this whole thing broke was a sermon, a Sunday morning sermon,
that I entitled, You Can't Scare Me with Heaven. Now what I'm saying, folks, and I'm not talking about foolishness. And I'm not talking about, you know what, well, I'm in God's hand, so I'll go jump off a cliff. And you know, all right. They're going to put something on your tombstone, okay? All right. Died of stupidity. All right, that's what they're going to put on your tombstone. I'm not talking about foolishness. I'm not talking about not taking reasonable precautions. But this whole idea, listen, you cannot live the Christian life from a fetal position. And we cannot obey the mandates of God by hunkering down and sheltering in and hiding and neglecting our Christian duties. We are called to be light in a dark place. And if anybody needs to see some people stand up and live by faith, it's right now. Right now, okay? And so you interpret that with the help of the Holy Spirit within the parameters of your life. I've said this from the beginning. We're not throwing rocks at each other. We're not criticizing each other. There's all kinds of different circumstances. There's all kinds of different situations. People are employed differently here. And we're going to have grace in the way we treat each other. But at the same time, I'm going to say some things that's an umbrella truth that we all need to consider in our circumstances. Hey, has the devil got me so scared that I've quit being a Christian? Has the devil got me so scared that I'm making decisions out of fear instead of faith? Those are valid questions that ought to be answered by every Christian. Now, preacher, what are you talking about the mark of the beast? I'm going to take this idea of a face mask mandate, and I'm going to compare it to what they're going to do to us down the road and how they're reconditioning the thinking of the American Christian, especially the American Christian and the American people. All right? So you never thought you'd hear a Bible study on face masks and the mark of the beast, but here it goes. Again, this isn't a condemnation or whatever on face masks or whether you should wear them or not. I just want you to look at what the process is. I don't care if it's a face mask or whatever it is. All right, let me tell you some truths about the mark of the beast that we have already studied. The mark of the beast will be required by executive order. By executive order. Which means this. One man is going to say and decide, you have to do this. Now, folks, you know why the devil hates our form of government? Think about this. Come on. Why in the world do all those socialists and communists that have worked their way into key positions by the devil being placed into universities to brainwash our young people, the next generation, to thinking that our republic is a bad form of government? Why is Bernie Sanders getting enough support to even have run? You know why? Because the devil realizes, come on, the spirit of Antichrist, it's not going to work in the United States of America because our Christian founders realized that the safest way to govern was with a balance of power. And you know what? This is not a balance of power. The Antichrist is not going to go to the legislative branch and say, I'd like to meet with y'all. I'd really like to get this law passed about the mark of the beast. Now, we'll take it through the House, and then we'll get it voted, and then we'll move it over to the Senate, and then they'll have to vote on it, and then they may make some changes, and it'll go back to the House, and then, you know what? It'll come to my desk. No, you know what? He's just going to say, hey, anybody that doesn't take this, you don't buy or sell. Now, folks, I want you to listen to me. I need to stand up. We need to blow this trumpet. And I don't care if it's our president now that we have right now. It bothers me when I hear that he's signing executive orders that he expects to be honored as law. It bothers me when the governors, and you've watched some of the governors, folks, just get on a power trip in some of the states, and they are stepping right over the Constitution, right over our freedoms, and circumventing our form of government, and they're power hungry and power drunk. And you know what? They think that anything they sign on a piece of paper, you know, we ought to treat it like they're Adolf Hitler and this is Nazi Germany. Okay, do you realize that, you know why originally, if you watched on Wednesday, you heard our governor say originally that this face mask mandate was going to be punishable as a misdemeanor, and that you could receive a fine or so many days in prison. Why did he back off that? That's not in the executive order. You know why? Because our attorney general stood up and said, wrote his opinion on that and said he has no constitutional basis to just, you know, no one man can sign and create a law that then is enforceable by our law enforcement. You know, they're law enforcement officials. Law enforcement. Not mandate enforcement. Not executive order enforcement. You talk to the police. I've talked to the police. I talked to Pastor Doug Castle about this and other members of our local police force. And he said, you don't understand. We can't enforce that law because it's not a law. The only things that we can legally enforce is what has gone through our House, has gone through the Senate, and has been voted as a law of the state of Indiana. We're not even empowered to enforce anything but properly executed laws through our government. So when they say they can't, they won't. He said, well, there's not going to be the face mask police. Well, of course there's not, because he knows he don't have the power. They don't have the power to back it up. And let me tell you the scary thing, what's happening in a lot of our states. Crazies out there as governors, some of the crazies, what they're doing is they're bypassing law enforcement. Matter of fact, they're ridiculing law enforcement. They're diminishing the powers of law enforcement. And what they're doing instead is they are going to the health department of every county. Now think about this. And they want to empower another single individual and empower them to be able to have enforcement powers. What are you seeing, preacher? I'm seeing the spirit of Antichrist. Now, this is why, listen, I'm not trying to convince you to be for or against face masks. What I'm telling you is you better watch the way things are being executed, and you better be, but during a national emergency, okay, how long can you have a national emergency? And when are we off the emergency? And now that they've gained the power and they've gotten the habit of doing this, they just don't want to let it go. Well, at some point in time, you know, don't be throwing Romans chapter 13 at me, folks. Because you know what? Romans chapter 13 is not telling us that we ought to bow our knee as Christians to a dictator. All right? What it's telling us is if we have, and by the way, it doesn't just give in Romans chapter 13 the responsibilities of citizens to government. It gives the responsibility of government to citizens. It describes the kind of government that we have an obligation to obey. And that both of those things need to be studied out. So the mark of the beast will be required by executive order. Number two, the mark of the beast will be required to buy and sell. I'm sorry, but starting tomorrow, I got a problem. When one man can sign a piece of paper, and now I'm being turned away from stores as a free-born American, saying I cannot go in there until I do what they've told me to do, mandated me to do. By the way, just like the mark of the beast, this is very visible. It's very visible. Okay, and so I've got a problem with that, okay? Many Americans, think about this. Some of you are employed right now, and the job that you have right now, if you showed up at your job tomorrow and said, I'm not wearing a mask, you know what? You wouldn't have a job. So they're not only mandating something that is determining whether or not we can buy or sell, but they're mandating something that determines whether or not you can even be employed or not. Okay, that's why I've got a problem with. Again, it doesn't have a thing to do whether they're effective, ineffective. You can read, make judgment calls on all that on your own. I'm just saying that, you know, and by the way, people that think they're effective or believe they're effective, that's great. And if they want to wear one, they can wear one. Here's the conversation I want to have, and I've already had with them. They come to me, and by the way, I'm getting to this, but you know what? A mark of the beast will be required by executive order, and a mark of the beast will be required to buy and sell, but people will feel it as their duty to turn in those not willing to take the mark of the beast. And that's prophesied by the Lord Jesus Christ. He said fathers, children are going to turn in their moms and dads. Friends will turn in their friends. Neighbor will turn in their neighbor. And we have this mentality where people feel empowered to come up and verbally confront you and assault you over the idea that you're not doing what they think you ought to do. There are hotlines that's being established in a lot of our large cities when we had some of these tighter conditions where they were encouraging people to drive around their neighborhood and call in and report people that weren't doing what the government said. Folks, again, we're talking about communist China. We're talking about Russia. We're talking about Nazi Germany. If they get the people sold on it's their patriotic duty to report those that are not. But think about this. Many Americans, some of you right now, the place you work, if you showed up tomorrow and said, I'm not wearing this mask, you know what they'd say? Well, you don't have a job. That's the power that this thing has become. Yeah, but nothing. Buy and sell. You can't buy or sell. Number three, the mark of the beast will be a way to identify those loyal to the Antichrist. So all of a sudden now we're getting divided into two groups. You know, the people and the sheeple. You know, I'm not talking about the people that have made a decision to wear a mask on their own because they believe it's to their best health benefit. I'm talking about people that just anything the government tells you, well, we got to do it, we got to do it, we got to do it. You know, that he announced this mandate on Wednesday, okay? Had the press conference, he said it's going to come into effect on Monday. Most of the people didn't hear that. Me and my wife, we went into Bob Evans during breakfast time on Thursday morning. We pulled in, there's not a car in the parking lot. Did they shut it down again? We walk in, doors open, we peek around. All the waitresses are sitting there going, they all run over. Can we help you? Yes. Can we eat? Sure, yeah, we're open. She come over and waited. Listen, we go there a lot on Thursdays. Usually the time we're there, the place is pretty full. I said, what's going on today? And they said, we've been talking about it. All we know is the governor made this announcement, a mandatory face mask, and we don't know if maybe most of the people think it already started. Here's a business that's already struggling. Folks, our business owners are already taking a beating. And all of a sudden now, because of a mandate, I don't know how you feel, but I talked to Rachel about it. She did it. She's a hoarder. But you know how many people went shopping like crazy the last couple days to stock up because they don't want to deal with this? Okay, so next Thursday when me and my wife go, and we may have stopped at five different businesses and spent money and stimulated the economy, you know what we're going to say? We're going to go, we'll pull up and look at a sign and go, you know, it ain't worth the hassle. Folks, this is hurting America. It's, you know why? Because some things are being dictated to us by one person that's mandating it, and then enlisting a bunch of other people to try to humiliate people that won't get in line and do. Listen, this is Revelation chapter 13. And if we get pre-programmed that's okay and acceptable, we're going to, you know what? How many Americans, if this happened tomorrow and said you got to have the mark, would just go get in line? It's scary when you think about it. Okay, it's number three, the mark of the beast will be a way to identify those loyal to the Antichrist. You know what? Again, I make a choice, and I started to say this. If you wear a face mask, you feel good about that. I've had this conversation. Someone says, you know, they come up to me and say, you should be wearing a face mask. You know what I ask them? Do you think that they're effective? Well, yes. I said, are you wearing one? Yes. Then what's the problem? Well, you should be wearing it. You just said that would protect you, so what's the problem? The problem is they don't just want to do it, they want to control what I decide about it. Well, I'm a freeborn American. I happen to have real good reading comprehension. I can study things for myself. I can make a choice and a determination for me. And by the way, that doesn't mean I throw rocks at anybody that comes to a different conclusion. But I've never walked up to anybody that's had a mask and say, you shouldn't be wearing that. Okay, you know why? Because it's their choice. Hey, folks, it's called freedom. Freedom. You know what the Antichrist wants to take away? Freedom. You don't have freedom. You don't have choices. You do it the way he says, in the manner he says. And by the way, you treat him like a god while you're doing it. And some people have shifted their loyalty that ought to only go to God and shifted it over to the government. And it's a scary situation. Number four, the absence of the mark of the beast will be evidence of disloyalty to the Antichrist. Just like the mark of the beast will be identified those that are loyal, the absence of the mark then becomes evidence of disloyalty. Folks, this is the same thing as the Jews having to put the Star of David on their shirt so that visibly people can see who they are and who they are not. Okay? People will be able to identify you by sight as one who is disloyal. It makes it easy to pick up their cell phone or take a picture, report you to the authorities. Number five, people will feel it is their duty to turn in those who are not willing to take the mark of the beast. They'll begin to say, these people are dangerous. These people are causing a huge risk. These people are threatening my family. They're threatening. They need to be dealt with. They need to be taken care of. And when he declares war on the saints, folks, it's going to be based very easily. It's going to be easy war because the enemy's going to be very obvious and the people's going to be able to find them. Why? Because some people will do what the government says and some people won't. And if they won't, they should be killed. And, you know, the Bible talks about the old-time guillotine coming back and Christians are going to be slaughtered and their blood is going to be shed during the tribulation period because they will not simply obey one man who makes a mandate and says you have no choice and you have no freedom and you do it my way or you are an enemy of the state. And that is what I am feeling and sensing when I go out and I'm not doing everything that everybody thinks I ought to be doing, okay? Number six, people will eventually be executed who refuse to take the mark of the beast. Now, I'm blowing a trumpet. Again, don't leave here and say, Brother Ross preached a whole message against wearing face masks. You know that that's not true if you listen to me, okay? When I was out in California, I, at certain places, wore a face mask. When I go visit the hospital, I wear a face mask. When I go visit, I can't get into the nursing home. When I'm dealing with elderly, high-risk people, I've got a face mask in my truck. I've got several of them in my truck. I'm not against using them, but I am against being told that I have to do it. Okay, I'm against that. I'm against one man usurping the American political system, no matter who that one man is, and signing an executive order without proper procedure, proper lawmaking procedures. I'm against that. Because why? Because I know the book of Revelation. Because I know the end of the story. Because I know where this thing's going. And sometimes when your preacher gets up and says to you, hey, folks, hey, I'm not even against what you're doing, but you better check why you're doing it. Then what we better do is stop and take notice. Because if we're not careful, we're just going to get in line. Next thing you know, we're going to start looking at people that won't get in line. And next thing you know, we're Nazi Germany. Next thing you know, we're Communist China. Next thing you know, a handful of people that do not have the best interest of America at heart are controlling the masses. What we better do is fight for our freedom. What we better do is go back and read the Constitution of the United States. What we better do is understand our forefathers saw the dangers of these things and insulated this nation from these things. Now, I'm done. I'll tell you something. This is why there is what you're seeing, a backlash against our nation and a hatred of our history and a tearing down of statues and a movement to try to rewrite, first of all, just destroy the Constitution, but rewrite the Constitution. You know why? It is the spirit of Antichrist. Because what the Antichrist wants to do will never fly in this form of government. And if we begin to start going to the middle road of socialism or the far left lane of communism, what we're doing is creating a form of government that one of these days the wrong man can step into power. Ask the North Koreans how it's going. Okay, go visit the mass graves in Russia. I mean, you better listen. I told folks, I read a book on the Holocaust at least once every year. I've done that for 20 plus years. There's some things we better read and remember and dedicate ourselves that we as Americans are never going to allow. And that's why sometimes it may seem like a little thing. Well, preacher, come on. I mean, do you always have to be a rebel rouser? Well, it's fun. It's fun. The honest truth is it's not fun a lot of times. You know, I mean, I get it. It'd be easier to go along. But here I am standing on the wall, watchman on the wall. And I got my King James Bible out. And I've read the end of the story. And I know where this is thing going to end. And I'm watching American people help to implement the things that's going to allow the Antichrist to one of these days rule and reign in this country as with the rest of the world. And we need to stand up against it. Heavenly Father, bless, Lord, this time. I pray, Lord, that you would use the teaching of your word. Put us on high alert. Because, Lord, I believe that the prince and power of the air is very busy. I think the closer to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the more active he is, the more he's laying the groundwork for his unholy trinity to be able to rule during the tribulation period. So we as Christians, Lord, our primary goal, number one assignment, is to go onto all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Lord, as watchmen on the wall, we have to, from time to time, rally the troops and point out a danger and say to Christians, be careful, be careful, be careful what path you're being led down. Danger, danger. So I pray, Lord, for Jesus to come back soon. Lord, I appreciate so much your patience. If you'd have come back last week, Joseph couldn't have got saved this morning. Olivia couldn't have got saved this morning. Lord, I believe that you're holding out, dear God, because you love lost sinners. You're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But Lord, there's a part of every Christian heart that prays what John the Revelator prayed at the end of Revelation. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. But we're tired of this old world. Tired of watching the devil seeming to win more than it seems like the church is winning. And yet, Lord, we see your hand in all of it. We see souls still being saved. So, Lord, I pray, dear God, in your good time that you'd send your son. Lord, we look for his coming. But until then, may we be busy. Occupy till I come. But I pray that you would help us, Lord, as we seek to spread the gospel, the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in Jesus' name.